You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Veronica Rickert. Millions of Americans live with a limited food budget because of a fixed income or on food benefits that come out to just a few dollars a day.
On this week's edition of Food Friday, our guest has advice and recipes to help people with a limited amount of money to spend on food and cooking to make not just food, but food that's fun to cook and enjoyable to eat.
Leanne Brown joins us now. She's the author of Good and Cheap, Eat Well on $4 a Day. Leanne, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. I'm excited to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us. This all started as your food science master's project. What led you to try to put this particular type of cookbook together?
Well, yeah, so it's actually not food science, it's food studies, which is this kind of new field that's only been around for about 12 years now. And it's kind of a melding together of food policy and study of the food system and culture, kind of trying to bridge the gap between nutrition and public health a little bit. So basically, it came together because I was really interested in spreading my absolute love and joy of cooking. And I really also felt that, you know, people who are living on a really significant budget, in particular people who are living on SNAP or food stamps, they're really sort of underrepresented in the food movement and didn't really have as much of a voice, I think, in the world of food as they should. And I just wanted it to be well known and well understood that the key to great food is cooking, not necessarily budget, and that there's still all kinds of really, really marvelous food to be had for very little.
Now, you initially, Leanne, made this available online as a free PDF. It's still available. We have a link to that on our Central Time Facebook page. But as I understand it, you just kind of put it out there not expecting much. But then, what happened?
I actually kind of put it out there after I had initially thought, oh, I'm going to share this with all of these nonprofits in New York City, and that people were interested in it, but I hadn't really gotten anything going, and I just kind of said, okay, I'll just put it online and whatever, we'll see. And then a few short weeks later, it ended up on a listserv on Reddit, and all kinds of people got so excited about it and were writing about it and writing to me and downloading the cookbook so fast it actually broke my website, which was hilarious at the time because there had been like maybe 17 people had visited it before that.
Well, you're not just trying to stretch out people's food budgets, although that's a worthy goal in and of itself, but you're really trying to make food that's fun and tasty. Why is that so important to this project?
Oh, man. Well, it's so important because I think that sometimes budget food kind of has this reputation, I think, as being sort of the boring stuff you have to eat. Like, I mean, I don't want to even say any one thing, but you sort of think about tuna casserole and sort of, you know, all lentils, these types of things. And those foods are absolutely wonderful in moderation, but I think that they can seem sort of like what you expect. And I wanted people to understand that that all kinds of great food, modern food, is available on very small amounts of money, and to really spread the sort of delight that can be had through eating. I think, you know, we get to eat three times a day if we're lucky, and it's in every single you know, one of those meals is an opportunity to have something really wonderful that can really fill you up and make you happier. And I want people to be as able to take advantage of that as they possibly can be.
Well, and one key to taking advantage of good food, whether you're on a limitless budget or a very limited budget, is knowing how to prepare things. And you don't assume that people know some of the basic cooking techniques because not everyone was taught those. What are some of the basic techniques that you find really useful when you're trying to cook good food on a budget and probably on a time budget as well?
Oh, man. Well, there's so many. It's almost like, I guess I would say, so the biggest thing is to just sort of not overthink it. Like, try the simpler stuff first. When you're cooking from basic ingredients, you know, things in the most raw state, like a can of tomatoes and some dried pasta and a little bit of garlic, is always going to come together into a meal that is actually much more flavorful and more exciting than a jar of pre-made pasta sauce and the pasta again. And so it's really about sort of taking things a little bit more slowly and, you know, making sure you add salt, making sure you add like a little bit of lemon juice, making sure you add garlic, whatever flavors are really what you enjoy are things that you should look to most of the time to sort of flavor up your more basic ingredients. And you'll find that when you're cooking from these nice things, like really like fresh garlic tastes good, fresh tomatoes taste wonderful. And when you're cooking in season and you can get these things, food just naturally tastes really, really good. And you don't actually have to try super, super hard.
We're talking to Leanne Brown about her new cookbook, Good and Cheap, Eat Well on $4 a Day. We'll get to recipes in just a few moments, Leanne. But one of the keys, it seems like, to what you're putting together here is versatility, ingredients that you can use in different kinds of dishes, techniques that apply across dishes. And you mentioned seasonal, you know, recipes that can fit in whatever happens to be available at a good price right now.
Absolutely. So yeah, salads that can incorporate whatever, you know, vegetables are in season or, you know, stews and things. All the recipes are extremely flexible. And I think that's so important because you need to maybe be able to, you know, one of the keys to budgeting is to buy something in bulk, buy a larger amount of it, and then use it across a few different things. And so I really encourage that people buy ingredients that they're comfortable with and that they can use in multiple ways. You know, things like eggs. Eggs are so versatile. They can be really fancy and beautiful quiche, or they can be scrambled eggs, they can be a fried egg, they can be on top of another dish to sort of add a little bit more protein. They can be a great way to use up any, you know, leftover produce that is wilting at the end of the week and scramble with some eggs, and suddenly you have something really enjoyable. Just really thinking through those workhorse ingredients and using them to the best of your ability.
Well, Leanne, I was lucky enough to be at a presentation you did and tried a recipe that fits a lot of what you just said. The vegetable quiche, hold the crust. We've got that, by the way, over at the Central Time Facebook page, a recipe and a picture. Leanne, can you tell us a little bit about that recipe?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So that one is such a good example of this. It's just so simple. I think of it as the sort of end of the week, throw whatever you happen to have left in the fridge in with these eggs, which is, I mean, a quiche, it sounds so fancy. You think, oh, it's French, it must be hard, all these kinds of things. And so this one is actually crustless, so you skip the sort of tougher part. Not the crust isn't wonderful, but it can take a little longer. This is really just vegetables or whatever you have around. Some, you know, of course, you could add like pieces of ham or something like that you like, floating basically in this beautiful egg custard with a little bit of cheese and milk or cream, and it just bakes up into this beautiful thing. You can add, you can slice off pieces, and it feels really special to eat. But really, made up of very inexpensive basic ingredients, you'll find just about anywhere.
So, Leanne, one of the things I think people assume about eating cheaply is that there's not going to be any room for meat in a budget, but
right.
You do a really good job of including meat in some recipes, maybe not in the quantity that people are used to eating, but also kind of bridging the divide that's often there between meat dishes and vegetarian dishes. And for instance, you talk about making lentil and beef burgers that are kind of the best of both worlds.
Right, yeah. It's, well, yeah, meat is absolutely something that I know is, you know, personally, I don't eat very much meat, and some people are vegetarian, to people who need to eat it every day to feel full. And I wanted everyone to be able to, if meat is extremely important to you, you should not cut it from your diet. And, but I wanted to sort of show how it doesn't need to be the center of the plate. In fact, that can kind of make food a little bit dull, and it's certainly not a very balanced or healthy way to eat when you're eating large quantities of meat at every meal. So I wanted to show how it can be, in general, a bit more of a flavor component than the sort of main star of the dish. And that's something that is not in any way new to most other world cuisines. Like outside of America, meat tends to be used as just a part of the flavor of a dish rather than the whole enchilada, so to speak.
We are talking to Leanne Brown about cooking on a budget. She's the author of Good and Cheap, Eat Well on $4 a Day.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have some advice or ideas on cooking good food on a budget? Or do you have a question for Leanne about cooking good and cheap food? Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And while you're there, check out her recipes for that vegetable quiche, hold the crust, and peanut butter and jelly granola bars. We'll talk about that in a few moments. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We continue our conversation now with Leanne Brown, author of Good and Cheap, Eat Well on $4 a Day. She's sharing advice and recipes for people cooking on a tight budget who still want delicious food.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite recipe that doesn't cost too much? Do you have some advice to share with us about keeping costs down in the kitchen? Or do you have a question for Leanne about her recipes, her project, her philosophy on cooking? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page and check out a couple recipes while you're there.
And one of those recipes is peanut butter and jelly granola bars. Leanne, why is that a good budget recipe?
Oh, man, I am so proud of that one. So that one came out of basically a lot of, in general, obviously I would love for no one to ever have to go to a food bank or a food pantry. But the reality is that that still may be the way that some folks some people have to do to make their budget work. And at just about every food pantry, you're going to find oats and peanut butter and some kind of jam or jelly. And so most people, of course, are going to be making a lot of sandwiches. They're going to be having oatmeal. And I just really wanted to find a different use for those ingredients. And I thought, you know, most granola bars are these really complex recipes. They're not complex, but they have a really long list of ingredients. You know, these seven kinds of nuts and all these syrups and all these special things. And so I thought, if I could just make a granola bar that's really made out of oats and peanut butter and jelly, that would be this wonderful, useful thing. And so that's really what it is. It's just you sort of warm up the peanut butter and jelly, and the jelly sort of helps it bind together. You warm it up on the stove, and then you mix that in with the oats, just uncooked oats. So that I like to add a little bit of rice cereal for some crunch if you happen to have that around. If you don't, it's no problem. And then you mix it all together. You bake it like bars, like, you know, brownies or lemon bars or whatever. And then you spread the rest of the jam on top and you let it bake. And then you just slice them up into little bars and you have a wonderful on-the-go breakfast that's a little bit different and made out of really basic stuff that most everyone is going to have around.
We have those peanut butter and jelly granola bars on the Central Time Facebook page, and some of Leanne's suggested variations on that are there as well. We'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We've got Christine on the line in Harvard, Illinois. Christine, hi.
Hi, how are you? I love the show today, and one of the things that I found help our family is, you know, get to know your local butcher or, you know, as far as the grocery store, and, you know, when meat is getting marked down, you can, you know, purchase some of those, you know, higher cuts, you know, expense-wise of meat and be able to freeze it or cook it that day. You know, within a matter of days, you know, the meat could be being marked down. You can throw it in your freezer when you're, you know, getting ready to use it. Sometimes it's marked down even half, you know, the price of what it would have been, you know, on the first couple days of, you know, being out on the rack there.
Christine, thanks a lot for that call. And Leanne, we were talking about versatility earlier with some of the stews and other things in your recipe. If chicken's on sale that day, if beef's on sale that day, do a lot of these work with different kinds of meat?
Oh, absolutely. And Christine is so right about that. I mean, the idea of having a relationship with your butcher is so, so great if you can possibly do that. I think, you know, yes, of course, absolutely. A lot of the recipes in the book work for different types of meat, different types of cuts of meat. Your butcher is also someone you can ask about things. You can say, hey, this meat is on sale, but, like, I don't know how to cook it. What should I do? And they'll usually give you great advice. Another thing they're amazing for is you can get bones often for free from your butcher if you ask for them. And if you have a bunch of bones, you can make incredible stock, which, you know, for pennies or practically nothing. You know, just boiling these bones, and you can have this incredible stock that you can use in all kinds of other things.
Christine also mentioned the fact that that's one way to feed a larger crowd, and certainly regardless of what kind of a food budget you're on, there are going to be special occasions where you want to get a bunch of friends or family together. Can you give us some advice on cooking for a lot of people, maybe for one of those gatherings?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, and honestly, cooking for larger amounts actually is easier than cooking for one. That's one of the sort of challenges when I was writing the book was thinking about, you know, people who are on their own, it's a little bit harder to stretch that budget. When you have a larger crowd to feed, you can get larger amounts of different things and then make multiple things. So something actually this past weekend, I was encouraging everyone to make pulled pork for the 4th of July because it's such a wonderful, inexpensive cut of meat, the pork shoulder. And you basically just cover it in a beautiful spice rub. You can make one in a book or do one that's a little bit more simple, and basically just cook it in the oven overnight. Or you can do it in a crock pot or grill if you're knowledgeable there. And you wake up in the morning to this beautiful smell, and all you have to do is pull it apart, and you can use it in tons of different things. And, you know, obviously it's a very large amount of meat, so you could probably give a fair number of people like a big portion, but you could also, you know, ration it a little bit by having it with salad and, you know, thrown into a taco with some extra vegetables and these kinds of things, having it in sandwiches. So having it with a bunch of other things, you're getting a lot of that flavor without just sort of eating that giant pile of pork.
Talking to Leanne Brown about cooking on a budget. Her book is Good and Cheap, Eat Well on $4 a Day as we continue Food Friday. We'll go to a caller now, Sarah in southwestern Wisconsin. Sarah, hi.
Hi, good to talk to you. I really appreciate this. I'm actually on the way lower end of the socioeconomic scale, at least. I have been on food stamps and am on food stamps, and I know other people who are. I appreciate very much the wonderful advice and the opportunity to eat better. I've been an advocate for that for several of my friends and family members. There's a few problems. Somebody, you know, actually while we were talking, I was chopping up some greens and putting them in salt water to soak so I could have salad for the next couple days. But one of the problems that comes in is lack of other resources. The recipes might be basically simple, but if you don't have adequate kitchen space to work, if you are working multiple jobs, if you don't have decent cookware, being struggling financially in and of itself is a mental tax. And I know people, when I talk to them about just making a small change, they freeze because they're already so overwhelmed that even something that might simplify their life, it just becomes very, very difficult for them to absorb new information when they're putting out fires everywhere else. Plus, a lot of people are poor for a reason. They might have medical issues or have a family member with medical issues, and that can cause other difficulties with the ability to prepare food. For me, with some of my medical issues, I have to plan not only how to get the food, how to store the food, use it in a timely fashion, and how to clean up afterwards.
Sarah, thanks a lot for the call, and I want to give Leanne a chance to talk about that. And I'm sure, Leanne, Sarah's not alone. Sarah and her friends are not alone in dealing with these other issues outside of the food itself.
No, not at all. They're super important issues, and I would never want to suggest that sort of just cooking can solve all of these problems. By no means is that the case. There's so many more issues at play here. I think one sort of hopeful thought is that, you know, you don't have to change your entire life. You don't have to start cooking all the time, every single meal. If there is just one or two things that you can do on occasion, I think that can make a big difference because cooking and just eating good food can bring a lot of joy and I think a lot of energy to life. That's been my personal experience and the experience of a lot of people that I've spoken with. And so if that can sort of help out in those difficult times, I really hope that food can be something that can be healing through its enjoyment. But yeah, it's absolutely true. I think the other issue about kitchen equipment is really well taken and something that comes up a lot. You have to have a place to cook in order to be able to prepare good food.
It seems like some of the ingredients that are best to have around, things like spices and good quality olive oil, which is healthy and delicious, those are initial outlays that are pretty significant. Do you have advice on how to kind of spread out the cost of those?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing crazy. Really, it's just, and it may not be possible for everyone. As I said, I really think that being, you know, single or in smaller households, those things can be difficult. When you have a larger family and you have just sort of a little bit more money sort of total, even if it's, you know, very little across all of the people. It can allow you to make those sorts of purchases. But really sort of thinking week by week or even month by month, and sort of if you can slowly build up those things, if you can find a way to budget so that you can buy one of those things that will last you into the next month and the next month.
Leanne, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely.
That was Leanne Brown, author of Good and Cheap, Eat Well on $4 a Day. We have two of her recipes up at the Central Time Facebook page and a link to her website where you can get a PDF of the book.